come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Welcome back into the show. This is the third and final hour, your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. The website for the show, yourdefendingfathers.com. Joining us on the line right now is a longtime Patriot brother from another mother. Brian Panabaker is on the line from Macomb County, Michigan. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Trucker. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, brother, I'm so excited. I'm on Amazon.com right now, and I'm looking at your book. And I got to tell you, man, I love that picture you chose for this particular book, Blue Collar Conservative from Reagan to Trump. But before we get into the book, Brian, I want you to take this short segment here, about 4 minutes we have. Tell the folks a little bit about yourself. Where were you born? Where were you raised? You know, what kind of family, what kind of upbringing did you have there in Macomb County?
Well, I was born at St. John Hospital. It's technically in Detroit, but the campus juts into the Grosse Pointe right there, just south of the infamous 8 Mile Road. And I touch on that in the book. My parents were living in Roseville, a southern ring community around Detroit. A lot of industrial back in the day in the late 50s, early 60s. Still a lot of machine shops. My dad was a machinist. They voted Democrat back then because it was a different Democrat party. My mom had a portrait of JFK up on the wall, and later on in the early 70s, when I got to be 10, 12 years old, she was a big fan of Democrat Congressman David Bonier, who gave away little pine trees every campaign cycle. So I grew up in that environment and was taught to believe that Democrats were the protectors of the working man and woman. Probably similar to your upbringing. You were living in Macomb County as well back then.
Sure. You then went to Utica Community Schools, graduated. Tell the folks, what year did you graduate? Where did you go to school?
Right. My parents moved out of Roseville, you know, shortly after the riots in Detroit. They were living just not too far north of 8 Mile. A lot of the whites fled Detroit, moved into the inner ring suburbs like Roseville and Fraser, East Detroit. So we moved out to the farmland way out in the middle of nowhere, where it was all orchards and golf courses, to a township called Sterling Heights Township, which is now a city.
Sure.
Just south of Shelby Township, where you lived. And we moved out there. I went to better schools, Utica Community Schools, which you attended as well. And we lived there till I graduated in 1977. A couple years later, I got in at Chrysler Corporation through a relative, a little nepotism there, and worked 11 years at Chrysler before I took a buyout from them.
Ended up going to work for Ford Motor Company.
Correct. After I took the buyout, I was off till, let's see, that was 89. In 1996, I hired in at Ford Motor Company, and I worked 25 years there until I was 61 and a half. I just retired in 2021, right at the end of the COVID epidemic.
So there was a long-standing UAW membership. You paid a lot of dues over the years. In 2012, we worked together to get Right to Work passed. We're going to talk about all that in the book. But most importantly, I wanted the audience to know your journey in life, Brian, turned a little political. And we're going to talk about that as well. So longtime good friend of mine, Brian Pannebaker. He's written a book, Blue Collar Conservative, From Reagan to Trump. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Nobles. We'll talk about all that. Get into a full conversation about the book with Brian Pannebaker. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
This July 4th, celebrate America's 250th birthday at the biggest party in mid-Michigan at Liberty Mountain USA in Farwell. Featuring Mark Farner's American Band, the Dave Mead Band, and more special guests. Sing along to classic hits, enjoy a spectacular fireworks finale, and camp on-site for the full weekend. Tickets start at just $15. Kids 12 and under are free. Don't miss it. Get your tickets now at libertymountainusa.com and click on events. Come join us and bring your friends.
Hear ye, citizens of Northern Michigan. Your Royal Chariot deserves the finest care. From Noble New Tires to auto repairs, Royal Tire has decreed smoother travels for all.
Alas, my trusty steed hath a flat.
And terrible brakes.
Fear not, fair knight. At Royal Tire of Petoskey, we fix flats, tame brakes, quell noisy exhausts, and keep your kingdom, car, roadworthy. All at prices that won't raid your royal treasury. Royal Tire and Auto Repair of Petoskey, where every driver is treated like royalty.
Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey wants to ask you a question. Have you exercised your Second Amendment rights lately? Well, if you haven't, get on over to Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey and talk to the old gun doctor about purchasing your next firearm, whether that be a concealed carry firearm or maybe an AR-15, perhaps an AK-47, or even just an old lever action. The gun doctor also works on every kind of firearm except maybe an Abrams tank. So you know your baby's in good hands. Curtis Gunsmith. Call 231-838-5571.
I'm Justin Michael. I come from more than a century of Republican heritage, a family that has served this country, this state, and our communities with integrity and conviction. My great-grandfather, Edward C. Morrison, served Michigan in the State House as a proud Republican, and that legacy lives in me today. I'm a strong Republican, a combat veteran, and a constitutional conservative, and I believe in limited government, fiscal responsibility, and secure borders. Our district deserves a representative who won't bend, won't break, and won't play political games. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
If you have pain in your neck, back, shoulders, elbows, wrists, hands, hips, knees, or feet, Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic deep tissue laser treatment for you. This technology relieves pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience fast robotic deep tissue laser pain relief at a special price. Call us Monday through Wednesday to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Hi, this is Mitchell Lipton, owner of the W Tax Group. We founded our company with a mission statement, to treat our clients like family and help with your tax problems like they were our own. Call us for a free consultation. Tell us about yourself and your tax problems so we can work together to make your life better for you and your family. Again, for a free consultation, call us at 855-346-1788. That's 855-346-1788.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment of hour number three. Staying through the break is Brian Pannebaker. He's written a book, Blue Collar Conservative, From Reagan to Trump. And Brian, explain to the folks, just real short, your involvement in Republican Party politics. When did you start going to county, you know, meetings? When did you start going to county conventions, precinct delegate? Explain your involvement in the Republican Party.
Sure. Well, probably sometime in the 1990s, Randy, my brother applied. He had been a fireman in the Air Force, and he applied for, well, he looked into getting onto the Sterling Heights Fire Department, where my uncle worked as a firefighter, and my brother had been a firefighter in the Air Force, great qualifications. And he was told at that time that he had very slim chance of getting in because they were hiring a lot of minorities due to government, you know, requirements. And it kind of ticked me off because my brother's a good worker and he was a great fireman in the Air Force. So I wrote my very first letter to the editor of the Macomb Daily about why racial minorities were getting preferential treatment over better qualified non-minorities. And that was probably the beginning of my political activism right there. Then, ironically, several years later, maybe a decade later, you and I both started getting involved in the Michigan Civil Rights Initiative. A gentleman from California, Ward Connerly, had brought his fight to get racial preferences out of government from California to Michigan, and he was actively working to pass a ballot initiative. In 2004, I think they tried to get it on the ballot and failed, and then ultimately you and I became more involved, and we got it on the ballot in 2006, and it passed overwhelmingly. We worked together on that effort. That really supercharged my political activism. While I was spokesman for the Michigan Civil Rights Initiative for Ward Connerly and his effort, I was traveling statewide, speaking to different Republican groups about why they should vote in favor of MCRI, which was Prop 2, to take racial preferences away from the government. And when it passed, it banned racial preferences in state hiring, state contracting, and state college admissions. So it's actually a constitutional amendment, and the state is no longer to use race, allowed to use race as a factor in those three areas. Then from there, I became involved with a guy that was state representative, Jack Brandenburg, down in St. Clair Shores, Harrison Township area.
Oh, yeah.
He was in between terms after he term limited out in 2008, but he reached out to me because he had seen me in the newspaper a lot. He wrote a lot of letters to the Macomb Daily. And when I was working as spokesman for Michigan Civil Rights Initiative, I actually started writing columns, like 600-word columns, and they'd include my title with a picture of me in there. So he called me up and said, hey, I'm going to be running for the state Senate in 2010. I'd like you to get on board and help me campaign. So I did, and then at that around that same time frame, you and I got involved in the Right to Work effort that Norm Hughes was initiating. I thought it was a dream that Right to Work could ever pass in Michigan, because this is the birthplace of the UAW. But Norm sure. said, no, we've got a candidate for governor, Rick Snyder, who said that if he's nominated and elected, he'll sign Right to Work legislation, and we've got majorities in the Senate and the House that have already drafted the legislation. We had a supermajority in the Senate back then. So I started to realize that it was a possibility. So I got involved. You were deeply involved. Gary Glenn was involved, the late state representative Gary Glenn, Americans, a family organization. So we fought hard, we campaigned for that, we got it passed. Now that passed legislatively and was signed into law by Governor Snyder in 2012, so it was able to be repealed by a succeeding governor, which it was a couple of years ago, by Gretchen Whitmer. So we are no longer a Right to Work state, but the good news is we have the template. Norm Hughes gave us the template. We know how to pass the Right to Work legislation. All we need to do now is return to a Senate majority and get a Republican governor back in office, and you and I and the guys can put the band back together and get it passed again through the legislature and signed into law by a Republican governor. And we also have the option, if we decide to do it by ballot initiative. It's a little tougher hill to climb. We have to accumulate certain number of signatures. It's very difficult. But we have the options, and we know that all of the arguments that the unions used against Right to Work, all the doomsday predictions, are false. They were proven false after we passed it in 2010. It did not destroy unions. In fact, union membership even went up, and they've continued to get gains in their contract negotiations under Right to Work legislation. So it did not hurt unions. It actually made them stronger because they were able to hold corrupt union leadership accountable. And that's what our goal was all along.
Absolutely. And one thing I think, Brian, in all of this, of course, is covered in the book that he's written, Blue Collar Conservative from Reagan to Trump. But it's kind of interesting, as I'm on Amazon here, the untold story of the auto workers who helped change America. Explain to the folks how you got involved in auto workers for Trump, and when did you start that, and how did you get that going?
Well, it's ironic that you're asking me these questions, Randy, because you and I didn't discuss this before this interview. But the first part of the book is about my upbringing in Macomb County. The second part of the book is part two is about the MCRI initiative, and then the right to work effort. That's the middle part of the book, part two. And then the third part is the answer to your question. I met Donald Trump in 2016 before he was president, September 30th out in Novi, backstage. I had gotten Scott Hagerstrom, who was his state campaign director, to get me on the list to get a picture taken with him. And when I met Donald Trump backstage, I said, "Mr. Trump, I have the keys to the White House waiting for you in Macomb County." And he started laughing. He said, "Oh, yeah, how's that?" And I said, "Well, if you come to Macomb County and ask for the Reagan Democrats' support," which is basically the UAW members, "and you're able to get it, you might win Macomb County big enough to carry the entire state of Michigan." Well, that's exactly what he did, and that's exactly what happened. And then in 2017, January, when he was inaugurated, I started a group to represent the UAW workers' voice to support Trump, because the leadership was anti-Trump. They were never Trumpers. And that's when my Auto Workers for Trump group was formed. I put 30 UAW members in there that I knew at my plant that strongly supported Trump. And from there, it grew quickly to 300, then to 800 or 900, and within a matter of a year or so, it was up to 3,000 UAW members, retirees, suppliers, and it got so big and influential that Zuckerberg eventually deleted us during COVID, because we were on there telling the truth about how COVID should not have shut down schools and the economy. So they shut us down. They actually deleted us right off of Facebook. That's
unbelievable.
In the book, it's a great story. I had been told by people all along through my journey when I was involved with MCRI, Prop 2, and then Right to Work, "Hey, you've got a great story. You should write a book someday." And I thought about it, but then when I met Trump and was able to form the Auto Workers for Trump group and participate in three successive election cycles and actually help him get elected and win all three of those elections, which he did, I decided, hey, when I retire, I've got to write a book. So I wrote a book and told the entire story.
Unbelievable. I love it. Love it. Love it. Hey, I got a off-topic quick text message.
Sure.
Phyllis down in Dexter says, "Say hi to Brian." She said, "I miss Norm Hughes. Will Brian be reading and recording an audio version of his book? I have a hard time sitting down and reading." She prefers to listen to books. Do you plan to make an audio version?
Good question. Well, if somebody wants to donate about $10,000 to me, I will do that. It's a separate thing. My publisher, Insight Publishing out in Oklahoma, does not do audiobooks. I'd be happy to read one. But you have to get a studio. It's an entirely separate public a publishing effort. So you pay for it out of pocket. Nobody pays for you to do it. I had to pay for my entire manuscript and then the publishing of my book, which ended up costing me $30,000, which it did include 2,000 copies of the book, which I'm going to be selling at book signings in the Metro Detroit area. $25 for a signed copy. It's $19.99 on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. So people in the Metro Detroit area, I'd appreciate it if they'd buy their book directly from me at one of my book signings, which I'll be announcing real soon here. I get my books June 24th. They ship. They say 3 to 4 days for shipping. So by the end of the month, July 1st, I'll have my books, and I will start scheduling book signings in the Macomb County area, Metro Detroit area, immediately after. I could try to get out to Dexter, hold a book signing out there, but as far as an audio book, It's a pricey undertaking. I don't know if I can afford it at this point.
Well, there's a way to get around that, and I'll talk to you off the air about it.
Sounds good.
Yeah, because I have a good friend, Rick Randall. He just did a audiobook for his book, and I'll hook you up with that. We'll talk about that later. But my question, too, so you will have, you're hoping, Brian, to have these 2,000 copies for you to autograph them. You're selling them for $25. That way you basically get to recapture all your investment, your time, and the money it costs you to do this first edition.
Correct.
And we'll be able to do the audiobook as well, Phyllis. I'll help Brian do that. But one thing, I'm part of the promotion team for Liberty Mountain USA, and I got Mark Farner from Petoskey to come, former
an American
lead
band.
Guitar, vocalist and songwriter for Grand Funk Railroad. Yeah. He's going to come with his band on 4th of July at Liberty Mountain, and I understand you're going to be there as well. They've asked you to be a speaker.
Correct. Yep. Rob Cordes contacted me and asked me if I'd be willing to speak. I guess they've got Perry Johnson, Mike Cox, and some of the other gubernatorial candidates speaking. I'll be speaking, and I'm going to set up a table there to do a book signing. Hopefully we get good turnout. I'm hoping, you know, we have between 5,000 and 10,000 people there. I know they're working really hard to market it, publicize it. So with you on the case, we can get some people from up in your listening area to come down, and it's in the center of the state. So really, everybody from around Michigan should be able to get there. I think it's going to be a great show.
Yeah, well, we're going to have a table for you, and you'll be able to bring the books and do autographs for folks. Again, the cost at the event, folks, and other book signings will be $25. That'll recapture Brian's investment in the book and get him going into the second printing. One thing, Brian, I want to end with real quick. Now, it is, I'm looking at it right here on Amazon. I just searched the name, Blue Collar Conservative from Reagan to Trump, and it popped right up. You can get it online. Actually, it says here I can get it before Father's Day for $19.99. So, real quick question: is it also on Barnes and Noble? Did you mention it's on their website as well?
Yes, it is. It's up on Barnes and Noble. I would assume if they ship as quickly as Amazon, you can get it before Father's Day. But if not, order one anyhow. If you're not in the Metro Detroit area, if you're down here, downstate. Try to make it to one of my book signings. That would be better for me. I need to recoup my investment, and then I'll do another printing once I've got my initial investment back.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, again, the name of the book, and if you'd like a picture of it, I took a picture off the website, and I can text it to your phone so you know what to look for on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. The title is Blue Collar Conservative, From Reagan to Trump. And it's Brian speaking.
Guess what, Randy? Let me break in. Tell them who wrote the foreword. Tell them who wrote the foreword to the book.
President Donald J. Trump wrote the foreword. Totally forgot to mention that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, brother. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
Send me a text message, guys. Just send me Brian, B-R-I-A-N. I'll send you the picture and the link to the Amazon. Thank you, Brian. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, trucker.
Bomb the Hour Newsbreak. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source, Michigan's leading news provider, delivering real, honest news to Michiganders statewide.
Good morning for Michigan News Source. I'm David Barr. A proposed U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement detention center at a Romulus warehouse will not move forward. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel announced Thursday that the federal government